With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
He's one half of the legendary radio duo, the Shadow Playboys, erstwhile editor of the bizarrely named fledgling fanzine Hung Low Psycho, and known to some as Bal, Balbo Baggins, James, Lambobo, and to most, just Lambert. Mr. James Lambert, pleasure to welcome you to as my guest on Desert Isolation Discs.
The pleasure is all mine, Alex.
This is quite a momentous moment. The Shadow Playboys are back in the same studio.
For one time only, the reunion tour.
This is what we'd always planned. I think when our Sheffield student radio show, The Shadow Playboys, aired around the golden age of student radio, 2004 through to 2007, people were upset that that had to end. How do you feel about your return to the scene?
I'm loving it, to be honest. It was something I absolutely loved doing at the time. I've got really fond memories, and I think kind of some of the stuff that we did on that show has really stayed with me and kind of influenced some of my choices today as well, I think. So yeah, it was it was a really exciting thing to do. Not very many listeners, but it kind of didn't matter. It was something I always really enjoyed and like really looked forward to doing every week.
It's not the listenership, was it? That's not what it's about. It was the pure passion. But anyway, how did you approach putting your 8 tunes together for if you were stranded on a desert, in a desert?
Well, it was really killer, to be honest. I don't know if it's like the age of the iPod where you've just got so many tracks like available at a click of a button, but I just found it really difficult. Sometimes you either want music, or certainly the way I listen to music, I either want it to be something that really appeals to me and feels really familiar that I can really kind of feel myself, or I want to be transported to a kind of completely different world and something that's completely different to me. And kind of like that, those two ends of the spectrum, really. So, you know, I was kind of thinking about, in that situation, maybe something that's really fitting of those surroundings. And then also at the same time thinking of something that's completely like off the scale. So I remember a long thing that something I've really mulled over was having something that just sounded so industrial and really modern and kind of just to transport you away from this kind of isolated world and kind of make you think of like a different culture and kind of the city. And so like one of the bands that I really struggled with, and I was really keen to get in there that hasn't actually made the cut, was a Japanese band Melt Banana.
Of course.
You know, it's just so completely different to any sound that you could get isolated in a desert on your own.
Yeah, I think there might be something that would severely affect your psyche if alone in a desert and listening to Melt Banana, which for anyone who hasn't heard it, yeah, is a pretty full-on experience.
Yeah.
But what is your first choice today?
So I've chosen David Bowie in a track 5 Years. I guess my musical tastes I've kind of got from friends and got through falling into things and discovering things. But this is actually one of the few things that my dad really got me into David Bowie. And I could kind of chosen hundreds of David Bowie tracks, to be honest. I just kind of love everything about him. His kind of the flamboyance, and you know, having been to the exhibition last year and seeing all the costumes and a kind of reminder of that. I could have chosen anything really from Bowie, but I kind of just love the way that this song builds.
Pushing through the market square,
so many mothers sighing. News had just come over, we had 5 years left crying. News guy wept and told us Earth was really dying. Cried so much his face was wet, then I knew he was not lying. I heard telephones, opera house, favorite melodies. I saw boys, toys, electric irons and TVs. My brain hurt like a warehouse, it had no room to spare. I had to cram so many things to store, everything in there. And all the fat, skinny people, and all the tall, short people, and all the nobody people, and all the somebody people. I never thought I'd need so many people.
That was David Bowie with 5 years. You'll never hear any complaints from me for David Bowie to be picked on Desert Isolation discs. And so that was a tune that sort of was passed down to you from your dad. Can you tell me what it was like growing up? Obviously, you grew up in Nottingham.
Yeah, I grew up in Nottingham. I guess music was always a really big, important thing to me. Mm. Though, like I said, not necessarily from my family. I think I've always been more interested in music than any of my family were.
I mean, you named the family Cocker Spaniel Jarvis, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know, you brought music into the house.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I guess that was one of the first kind of Sheffield influences onto the Lambert household.
And Sheffield influences, has influenced your second choice as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So I talked a little bit about kind of my family and how they influenced my music taste. But whilst me and my dad share a few common bands, not very many, it's fair to say that I don't share very many with my mum at all. And I think probably the only artist that I can think of where both where myself, my mum, and my dad all agree is Richard Hawley. Another Sheffield influence. I'm actually wearing a Henderson's Relish t-shirt as we talk. Sheffield certainly a massive kind of influence on me in those kind of three short years. And I guess nobody kind of represents Sheffield more than Richard Hawley. Mm. I've seen him live several times along with my family. Mm. And I don't know, he just seems like he really epitomises the city. He's kind of romantic and cool, but I guess he never takes himself too seriously.
Mm.
And he's very friendly and warm, and that's just kind of, for me, that's what Sheffield is. It's a very warm city, and I've heard the phrase used like it's the world's biggest village.
Yeah.
And, that does seem very appropriate.
You gave your life to someone like an arrow runs away from you. Cast your stone into the fire. Now feet don't walk and I'm so tired, it's true. So true. What have you done to me, baby? Oh, these days just break me. And I'm wasted. Wake in the morning and get up screaming. I left my light somewhere behind. My screwed up eyes don't seem to shine. Since the day you said goodbye, I just can't seem to try, it's true. So true.
That was Richard Hawley with Naked in Pitsmore, which reminded you of your time, Lambert, of being at university in Sheffield. But I just want to backpedal from that just slightly. So some of my first memories of you, we sort of became friends when we were sort of mid-teenagers. And one of the first times I remember seeing you not in school was at Leeds Festival, and I always came out of some tent watching some indie band. I think it might have been the Libertines, and then Lambert came past doing a like the what do you call it that
the, I don't know like the horns
was you just went rival schools. I think you just meant to see them. But then, like, as we became proper friends, and like, you, I think you had like loads of bands written on your bag and stuff like that. And what I liked that was that you were really into punk music, but like current punk and old punk as well. Did you feel like you were connected to the punk ethos, even though it's like, you know, wasn't the original time of punk?
I think the problem with punk always for me is I always loved the music. And, you know, I'd liked quite a lot of the elements of punk music and that kind of community. But kind of with a lot of genres of music that are very specific, it almost felt too inclusive, and that you almost, if you're into punk music, you had to dress like a punk 24/7, and you had to only listen to punk records, and oh, you can't like listen to that band because they're not, you know, they're not that cool. Mm. And so I always liked punk, and I was always really into punk, and I guess probably it's one of the genres of music that I've listened to for the longest period of my time, kind of consistently, and I'll consistently listen to it now. And I felt partly into that community, but I never wanted to go full hog. Mm. You know, I never had a Mohican. I certainly can't get one now, though. I would quite like. I always kind of wanted one. I remember being a small child and really wanting a Mohican.
Do you remember what you wanted to be when you grew up at that point?
I think probably like most people, I always wanted to be a musician, but never had any musical talent whatsoever. So I probably could have been in a punk band, but...
Yeah, perfect. So, I mean, we're you know, talking about this, and, you know, one of the bands that I'm really happy that you introduced me to is your next pick. Who is it?
Yeah, it's a band called Bikini Kill. So they very much on the kind of feminist punk scene, and I guess it introduced me to quite a lot of bands through them. I don't know what it is about Bikini Kill. I think I always had a big thing for kind of female vocals in punk. I still remember when I first bought this album. It was in Selector Disc in Nottingham, R.I.P. There's a fantastic record shop that's no longer with us, and, you know, shaped a lot of my musical taste. But I remember getting the Bikini Kill. It was the singles collection. I still remember it cost me £18. So it was like an import. And I remember getting it home and being really excited and putting it in my CD player and then seeing that it was only 18 minutes long. And thinking, oh God, I've just played, you know, this is back in the day when that was probably like, you know, a week or two's pocket money.
Absolutely.
And I think to think I've just spent that much money on one CD that lasts 18 minutes. But I tell you what, I've got my £18 worth of money out of that.
And I wouldn't, you know, obviously there are certain things that you do spend £1 a minute on, but we won't go into that as well.
I don't think that would go down well with the feminist punk stuff.
No, probably not so much. Great. So this is Bikini Kill with which track?
I Hate Danger.
Great, let's hear it. Bikini Kill there. So, you know, that was you sort of getting into punk and those bands. Can you remember those first gigs that you went to and how you felt about it?
I remember kind of once I went to those first few gigs, I got hooked really quickly into going to gigs. I remember the first gig I went to on my own. I went to see Green Day, I just loved the energy, and I just wanted to go to more and more and more.
Mm.
I was quite lucky. So in Nottingham, the big venue is Rock City, and I remember that was always exclusive to. You had to be 18 to go there.
Yeah.
And I remember being 14, and they'd just started doing 14 and over gigs.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to the very first one, I think. It was a metal band called Soil, if I remember rightly. It was the first kind of under 18s allowed gig that that Rock City put on. And, you know, from then I was going to two or three gigs a week.
Mm.
And I spent all my money, you know, on going to gigs, probably before I found drink and girls.
Really. Your vices.
Yes, yes.
I hear Soil are very down to earth as well. So, yeah, absolutely. And were there any that really sort of stuck out, a sort of either very different gigs that you went to or things that sort of changed the direction of the kind of music that you started listening to? Because, you know, obviously, after the kind of punk side, you did get quite heavily into hip hop as well, which was quite different.
Yeah,
as well as those bands.
I suppose kind of early on, I went to some of those bigger gigs at arenas and stuff. Mm. But actually, I found quite quickly that I preferred the kind of much more intimate environments. One of the things I always liked at gigs is the kind of camaraderie and stuff. So I was very much into kind of metal and punk, I suppose, at that sort of time. And I'd be there in the mosh pits, and I love the fact that pushing people around and then getting picked up the next minute, and everybody looking out for each other. One of the ones I really remember was a gig at Rescue Rooms, and there was three bands on that I really loved. The Murder of Rosa Luxemburg, who I know I've seen with you before, Alex.
Yeah.
I don't know what ever happened to them.
Great band.
And then followed by Pretty Girls Make Graves, who, again, were a fantastic band. And a band I was really into was Blood Brothers, who were headlining it. And I just remember the energy in that gig was incredible. And I was there, I was in the mosh pit, I was crowd surfing all the time. But at one point, I ended up crowd surfing and landing on the stage and landed on the effects pedal of the guitarist, who was very unhappy about it, and he pushed me off the stage. But as I landed as well, I managed to land in the pile of glass on the stage as well as the pedal. And still to this day, I've got a scar on my hand where I landed in a pile of glass. That was a pretty good one.
Yeah, stories of a misspent youth is that's good. And the next band that you picked, you went to see in that kind of time, didn't you?
Yeah, I've seen them a few times actually, and I guess they're not ever seen as one of the coolest bands. I think they've been unfairly labelled with the whole kind of new metal tag, but they've kind of come out of the side of that, and they're still together today. And actually, I think certainly the last couple of albums have been right up there with some of the best that they've done. And
this is the Deftones.
This is the Deftones. Yes, sorry, Deftones. One of the gigs that I saw at Rock City was absolutely incredible. I love Chino's voice. And I just, the band was so tight that night in Rock City. And it just wowed me. It was just an incredible gig. And this is one of my favourite tracks from there. It really kind of has that build up that I really like. It's Be Quiet and Drive, brackets, Far Away. Close brackets.
Lovely. Well, I'm glad that we've got the grammar right.
Yeah.
So let's hear it. was the Deftones there. So, as I mentioned, you left Nottingham and went to Sheffield with me. It was probably because of me, wasn't it?
Really? Oh, yes.
To university, study English, which, you know, was... Why did you go for that? And what are your sort of memories of going to Sheffield, and how different was university to... Because, you know, you went out quite a lot before going there, whereas a lot of people turn up and that's the first time they've ever, you know, ever drank, ever done anything dubious, you know.
Are you speaking for yourself here, Alex?
Oh, I mean, I turned up with a briefcase, you know, I had my tie on, you know. I was very clean cut until you got to me, you know. But what do you remember of that, those times, if anything?
Yeah, very little, to be honest. I don't know, I had a fantastic time at university. And as I said, I loved the city of Sheffield and kind of got great memories of that city. But also, like, the radio show was really, really good. I remember one of the things that was brilliant about the university was the Tuesday Club, and kind of that really kind of opened my eyes to some sort of some music that I hadn't sort of got into previously. So sort of drum and bass is a big thing there, but also like hip hop. Started to get into the UK hip hop scene. I remember seeing Skinny Man play in a small bar in Sheffield, and that was really good. I think that was a night for young offenders or something. So there was me and Alex who probably stuck out like a sore thumb, really, there.
Yeah, but maybe. I think we probably nicked a car stereo on the way.
Got to fit in, haven't we?
So. Exactly, always.
So I dusted down our track suits and made it down there with a car stereo in tow.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's your next pick? It sort of relates to that.
Yeah. So this track really reminds me of that time and kind of doing the radio show. You know, we played quite a lot of hip-hop on there. And this track's by Dirty Diggers. It's called Wannabes. And I love the beat on this. I think this is a proper sort of dancing track. You can really, really get sure. But what I really love about this is it's so, like... He's done so much in their accents, and without being like too cheesy and kind of over the top, you can tell that they really believe in what they're saying, and they're sort of rapping about their experiences and kind of their thoughts, and I love that about them. I think there's far too much music, particularly I suppose in hip hop, where they're trying to be something that they're not. And they're trying to listen to other bands and listen to other artists and kind of mimic them. And I don't think you get that with this track. You get very much this is them doing their thing. He's limited limelight, you killers and liars and idiots, fucking illiterate. These critics are loving your lyrics because violence is cool when it's not your experience. Don't check chatter, what's cool this week? Just rapping the pattern I usually speak. Confusing me deep with the crews that I meet. Well, I choose to be me, but it proves to be beef. Trying to be peace on the decentest beats, but recent weeks keep leading to grief. Man. All I'm hearing is the bleating of sheep. They meet, they grease, they eat in the street. Mate, wouldn't water the authorship down. On some rap, just thought of it. Wow, I sort of like rap, but I'm bored of it now. I'm in the worst in if it's out. I'm like, meow. Ah, you got murking to do. It's curtains for crews, I'll be working for you. Yeah. Everyone's gotta be running it like they're the government. Don't I just don't see the fun in it? Wannabes wanna be something they're not. They copy the lot of the something that's hot. And by the time they change the taste, it's gone from whack to weak to waste. Wannabes wanna be something they're not. They copy the lot of the something that's hot. And by the time they change the taste, it's gone from whack to weak to waste. That was Wannabes by Dirty Diggers, a piece of your Sheffield life there. But obviously after university, you moved back to Nottingham, where you've grown up and, you know, where your future lies. What are your sort of feelings about the city? And also it contains your football team, which is absolutely central part of your life. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. I've apart from that time in Sheffield, I've always lived in Nottingham. And I love the city. I've never really felt much drive to move away from it. And kind of London's always been a tempter. But I've never been able to drag myself away from it. And I think Nottingham offers everything that I'm looking for in a city. I think there's plenty of things to do, things to see. And it's sort of central location means you can visit other cities and You know, Nottingham's obviously got a bad reputation, I think, for kind of violence and crime and stuff, but I think that's it's unfair, totally. I don't think that's the feeling that you get from most areas of the city. So, yeah, I think we've been tarnished badly there. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, friends and family still there, so that always helps draw me there, and also my beloved Nottingham Forest. Yes.
So what, I mean, when do you remember when you first went to your first match, and have your feelings about the team changed as you got older?
Yeah, I guess I was sort of about seven probably when I went, and yeah, I remember going to the match, and that was it. I was hooked from the very first game, and back in the old First Division. So it must have been 93-94. Yeah, and, you know, I've got my whole sort of family has always supported Forest. You know, I went regularly with my dad and my granddad and my brother. And even stories about my great-granddad, I never met him, but I believe he was kind of involved in the construction in the old main stand and stuff.
In the City Ground.
Yeah, so it's always been really close to my heart. Forest, and kind of remain so today. I still got a season ticket and go regularly, and as we record this, I'm actually having to miss a game on Saturday for Alex's stag do here.
Yes,
so there's very few things that will turn me away from that, but Alex's stag has to be one of those. Luckily for my wedding next year, I found out that I won't be missing a Forest game because England are playing on the Friday, so I was very
pleased. Which is obviously your main priority.
Absolutely, yeah.
What's your next choice that you got for us today?
My next choice is Jeff Buckley, and it's a track, Lilac Wine. Obviously, there's not a huge amount of choice that you can choose from Jeff Buckley. Mm. You know, sadly, lost his life far too early. But that album Grace is incredible, and possibly is my favorite album of all time. I love his voice. His voice just I don't know, it's haunting and beautiful and so powerful. There's so much emotion in his voice, and I could listen to it again and again. What I tend to do now, actually, is try and wean myself off for a period of time and then play Grace, you know, a month or two later. And I get that full hit. It's almost like it's the first time I've heard it. And I love this track because this track, Lilac Wine, is very much just about his voice, really. Yeah, you can kind of feel the torment in his voice in this song. I remember being told that Jeff Buckley was somebody that I should listen to. I clearly remember my neighbour telling me about Jeff Buckley. I heard the story of him dying before I'd even heard his music. So I guess that's always been closely associated with the music for me.
Bound up in it, absolutely. Fantastic. Well, let's hear Lilac Wine by Jeff Buckley.
Lilac wine is sweet and heady, like my love. Lilac wine. See clearly, isn't that she coming to me nearly?
I was Lilac Wine by Jeff Buckley, as haunting as ever. Clearly, Nottingham's a big thing to you, and you work for one of the biggest employers in Nottingham, you know, one of its proudest achievements is Boots, isn't it?
Yeah. So work at Boots. Yeah, it's very much. I think it's the biggest employer in Nottingham. Certainly one of them. And kind of Boots and Jesse Boot, kind of the history of them, kind of go one in hand in hand with Nottingham. So major player. A nice company to work for.
Yeah, and you've been there for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, it's 6 years I've been there now.
So. Veteran.
Yes, yes.
And what do you think? Do you have any, like, long-term ambitions of either doing something with that or, what you want to do? Have you ever had any career, like, oh, I must do this? Because, you know, you've always had this thing of, oh, I'm not quite sure, you know, when we were younger.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know, I guess throughout my life, I've kind of changed my mind on kind of what I want to do career-wise. And I guess I've probably got some regrets of different avenues that I never went down. I thought about teaching quite a bit. And also thought about joining the police and stuff quite a bit when I was younger. But
You did do a bit of teaching practice, didn't you? And do you remember when they were saying, Mr. Lambert, and you were like, who are they talking to? Or sir, no, they were saying sir.
I remember one quite funny incident. There was a little girl there with sort of learning difficulties, and she'd obviously just been used to having female teachers, so she couldn't quite get on what she should address me as.
Mm.
So she always referred to me as Miss. Which kind of her classmates all found rather amusing, and I found rather embarrassing.
And I think you still might have had some of your long hair then, so, you know, maybe there was a bit of confusion.
Possibly so, yes.
So what's the next pick that you've got for us?
The next one I've gone for is a band called Refused, with a track called New Noise. The song's just got so many different parts to it, and again, it just builds up. And I love Refused because they've taken that kind of real punk ethic and they really kind of modernised it and put their own twist on it. And they've got many things from the origins of punk, but very much made that much more complex. So it's far more complex from the whole kind of three power chords and shouty vocals. It's kind of their music's always been much more complex than that, and you know the politics of them's always gone absolutely hand in hand. And you know, certainly can't say I'm fully as extreme as that, you know, having worked for a company like Boots and stuff, where they're very very much proud anti-capitalists. One of the things that I guess I kind of struggle with Refused, and a lot, I still can't get it quite in my head, was originally I loved them because loved the way that they ended as a band. They played their last gig. It kind of got closed down by the police, and they came on stage wearing t-shirts that said "Refused are fucking dead," and I kind of loved that. I kind of loved that they did that, and then a couple of years ago, they came back and they did a few gigs, and I was lucky enough to go, and it was absolutely brilliant. I guess at the same time, it kind of taints that original ending, but I think they came back for the right reason. Gotta scream!
New Noise by Refused. I hope you enjoyed that. So, Lambert, you alluded to it earlier, but you're getting married next year. How did you meet Laura? And, you know, it's so exciting that you're getting married.
Yeah, we met in a club, actually, in Nottingham.
Smooth.
The Cookie Club, yes. So I guess kind of music was involved quite early on there with Laura.
Mm.
I don't know, if you meet somebody in a club, I guess you don't really expect it to be a long-lasting kind of... And it wasn't, no, it wasn't like that.
Mm.
But I guess, you know, you only ever hope that you meet somebody that and have that connection instantly with them. You know, it's not the kind of most conventional way, I suppose, of meeting somebody that you want to spend the rest of your life with. But
well, in fact, it's almost seen as the old school way now.
I suppose so. Yeah,
meet online.
Yeah.
How quickly did you know that was going to be it? And how do you make the decision that this is, you know, the person for the rest of my life? Because, you know, it's very, quite a serious one.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I mean, she's an incredible woman. And she's just got a heart of gold and just makes me laugh. And she kind of keeps me silly, really. you know, I've always loved music, but kind of the one thing I probably love more and the sound I love more than the world than the music is probably her laugh. As cheesy as that sounds, but we have a great time and we're just silly together. And you know, part of the journey together is trying to get her to stop listening to Radio One. And you know, I think I've shared quite a bit of my musical influences, and a lot of that she's taken on board.
And what's your final choice today?
Yeah, so the final track I've chosen today is Nick Drake with Time's Told Me.
Time has told me you're rare, fine. Trouble cure for a troubled mind. Time has told me.
That was Nick Drake with Time Has Told Me. What made you pick that tune?
I don't know, to be honest, I've arrived at Nick Drake rather late, really. I remember lots of people telling me that I should listen to him, and I never quite got it. And then, I don't know, it's just suddenly clicked, and I could have chosen a whole number of tracks again. I love that album in particular. I guess, really, I like the whole... one of my favourite films is High Fidelity, and that whole argument about what's the best... side A track ones. I think that's got to be right up there. So I think that's probably one of the reasons why I picked that one.
You're stranded in the desert. First of all, how would you cope? And second of all, you can only take one of the. If you could only pick one, what would it be?
I always kind of thought I had quite decent survival skills. I was in the scouts and stuff. I was always a bit rubbish at tying knots, so hopefully I won't have to do any of that. But, you know, I could make fire and that sort of stuff. I'll be okay.
Hmm.
But I guess the problem is I'm a bit pasty and I've got a balding head. So I think I'd suffer quite badly from heat stroke. I guess maybe Jeff Buckley, maybe.
Said through gritted teeth.
Yes.
Okay, I'll take you for that. And of course, very importantly, we give you the complete box set of Red Dwarf.
Yes.
And the Tiger Who Came to Tea, naturally. What's your luxury item that you're going to take with you?
The Bible. No, not really. that's a different show. I guess I'm going to have to say beer. You know, you got to have something to take your mind off the desert heat. I'll take a tanker of beer, if that's allowed.
Perfect. A limitless tanker is yours. Mr. James Lambert, thank you very much for being my guest on Desert Isolation Discs. Thank you very much for listening. Any resemblance to any other radio show, podcast, alive or dead, is purely coincidental. And we'll catch you next time on Desert Isolation Discs.